Hi, I'm Derek Jensen. This is Resistance Radio on the Progressive Radio Network. My guest today is Dr. Liliana Corridor, founder and coordinator of Scientists for the Mekong. For the last 35 years, she's worked worldwide to protect water. She's worked with peasants, farmers, school kids, community groups, indigenous tribes, fishermen, government departments for free, NGOs, and the public. Today we talk about threats to the Mekong River. So first, thank you for your work, and second, thank you for being on the program.
Thanks, Derek, for having me.
So, where is the Mekong River, and can you describe it to people, the biological, the natural communities, the humans who live there? What is the Mekong River like?
Okay, the Mekong River is the Amazon of Asia. Most people in the world don't know about the Mekong, and yet they do know about the Amazon. It is a huge river, about 4,500 kilometers long. Its headwaters are placed in Tibet, and it runs through several countries, through China, Myanmar, Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and ends up in Vietnam, in the Delta in Vietnam. So it's an enormous river, and it's of incredibly high importance as an ecosystem, because it's second in biodiversity to the Amazon River. Yeah, it is absolutely massive. And unlike the Amazon, in the Amazon there's a few people down there, yes, but in comparison, the Mekong River is just overpopulated in the riverine areas on both sides of the river. I mean, and the poorest communities, some of the poorest communities on earth, and they live off, their supermarket is the river. They fish off the river. Their diet is 90-something percent fish, and the water supply comes from the river, and any food that they grow on the river, on the river sides, on the riparian area. So it's really important, particularly in the lower Mekong, it sustains 60 million people, and our interest is that their food supply and the water supply of 60 million people are now at risk, and that is an enormous point that nobody wants to accept, except some of us.
So before we talk more about the threats to it, can you talk more about some of the biodiversity there? I know, for example, I've heard of the Mekong catfish, which is a supposed to be a huge catfish. Can you talk about some of the creatures who call the Mekong home?
Yeah, well, the Mekong's got, and they haven't even finished looking at the amount of identifying the number of fish it has, but they're up to 1,000 species. That's a hell of a lot of fish in any river anywhere. Yeah, it's only second to the Amazon. And amongst the most important ones are the giant Mekong catfish. We have one in the Amazon, but it's not even half the size. The Mekong catfish can go up to 400 kilos. It also has the giant stingray, which also goes up to 400 kilos. It's got the very, very endangered Irrawaddy dolphins. By now, there's only about less than 70 of them, or perhaps less, left, and the dams are threatening them with extinction in the Mekong ecosystem. So that's amongst them. Plus, there's just hundreds and hundreds of species that are the daily food of the people, which are at risk too.
So, why is the Mekong important, and what are some of the main issues facing the Mekong right now?
That's a million-dollar question. Okay. The Mekong is important because it's such a biodiverse ecosystem. It's got the second highest biodiversity on Earth. And because of providing food and water for so many people, but also from the economical point of view, it is extremely important in fisheries. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry in fisheries. And the Mekong Delta, which is right at the end of it, is the most productive part of the river, if you want, is where in Vietnam is where 20 million people live, and it's the granary, if you want, is the very center of all food production for rice, fruits and vegetables, not only for Vietnam, but they export it to the world. Here in Australia, we eat the rice, we eat the vegetables and the fruits. So it's extremely important economically, and that is being threatened too by the development that is going down in the river at present.
So let's talk about dams in a moment. But before you talk about dams, can you talk about some of the other threats to the Mekong? Is it a fairly clean river, or has it been horribly polluted by industry? What are some of the other problems? We will talk about dams in a moment, so leave them aside. What are some of the other problems the river faces?
Well, the river is now going through a huge developmental phase, yeah? And this is a frenzy of development going down. It's like, I would like to give the listeners a simile and something to relate to. Imagine that in Texas, for example, they're going to have a huge tornado or a huge cyclone, and everybody rushes to the supermarket and they go into a frenzy of shopping and they empty the shelves in the supermarket and run home with the goodies. Well, that's what's happening in the Mekong. It's everyone for himself. Everybody just going insane. There's major problems that you have now is that there's some there's pollution, but the problem is that the pollution spots are not well documented. Yeah? And because a lot of them come from the north and the upper Mekong, from China. Yeah, China is heavy duty into factories, as you well know. So nobody knows what they're letting out, and they're not going to tell us. That's one of the main factors. Then in Laos, we know that there's some industry that is creating some serious pollution next to a nuclear power plant. Yeah, and there's mining, basically. And there's also mining for lithium, and there's mining for gold, and God knows what else mining they're not telling us. The problem in Asia is that these countries that share the river, yeah, are ruled by an elite, and they're really repressive autocratic regimes. So the one thing they do is they have an incredible power of suppression of freedom of speech and of the media and control of the media. So the information that comes out is by people risking their lives, basically, or by people like me that go and sneak in and try and find things out. And that's what I'm doing, is I have made sure that I put as much information as I get from my friends that I made up there to put out to humanity and let them know that it is not that simple. We already knew, like in 2003, this Australian veterinary was studying the baby dolphins' mortality, like saying, okay, why are baby dolphins dying? Yeah? Her name is Dove, Dr. Dove. And she, Verne Dove, she was working with World Wildlife Fund Cambodia, yeah? And she basically said that the necropsy of the new baby calves that were dead showed that the immune system of the dolphins were very suppressed, and that this was due to environmental contaminants, yeah? Particularly DDTs, PCBs, and other chemicals. High levels of mercury were also found in the dead dolphins, and that's most probably coming from gold mining activity. And she reported this in June 2009. By July, she had been thrown out and banned from Cambodia. And WWF closed the case. There's no more talk about it. Now, this is a really important case, because if baby dolphins are dying, and this is why the population of dolphins has been decimated, basically, not only by fishing, which is what they're trying to say, but because of pollutants in the water. Dolphins are very similar to humans. So if you have baby dolphins dying because they're eating polluted fish, the mothers are eating polluted fish, and it's passing through the milk to the babies, imagine what's that doing to the human population. So this was a scandal that was so big that they brought in the IUCN, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, to deny the results of the studies. I spoke to the toxicologist that did the studies, a Dutch guy. Yeah. And I asked him about it and he said, yep, that's the results. And yeah, I don't want to know about it. Too complicated.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that there is, in addition to the pollution of the river, and we'll once again get the dams, but in addition to the pollution of the river, there's a real problem over there because anybody who attempts to report on it is can quite possibly run into threats to their lives and so on.
No, darling. Let me put it bluntly. If you speak out in Southeast Asia, three things happen to you. Either you're jailed, killed on dead, right in the middle of the day in front of everybody, shot to your face, or you're disappeared. That's as simple as, and everybody knows it is like that. What happens is that although everything around the Mekong is very well known in Southeast Asia, it is not known around the world. My job, one of my aims and goals, is to bring it to the attention of humanity. The sheer human rights violations that are going down, the autocratic regimes, this is a nightmare. I mean, Putin is an angel. This is just incredibly complicated. So the river is polluted, but it's not as polluted as other rivers, say in Europe or elsewhere, yeah? Or even our darling Murray River here in Australia. So every river is polluted around the world. You've got to be in a pristine area not to be polluted. Let's start by the beginning. But one of the main problems there too, particularly in the lower Mekong, is open defecation, like in India. Yeah? And that's very complicated to fix because they have the dry season, in which this can be worked out through latrines or composting toilets. But when it comes to the flood, the water can rise 15 meters. Yeah, and they all live in pilotis. And it's very difficult to dispose of human waste in that way. So that's a huge problem, is human sewage. And in the delta, a lot of factories also, Chinese factories.
I want to come back to the human sewage in a moment. But in terms of the repression, also, you have, for your work, you have been, you said you've been held at gunpoint 3 times.
Oh, well, that was in Colombia.
Oh, okay.
That was in Colombia for having a big mouth and telling about illegal logging. That was in Colombia that I was threatened by my life. But in Southeast Asia, I was going to, I was given a small grant by the Avaaz Foundation, thank God for them, to go and check out what was happening in the Mekong. Because as a scientist, I do not like hearsay. Yeah, I'm not a desk scientist. I want to go check out for myself. I know enough about water to be able to look at a system and start working out what's happening. And I talk a lot with people, with the actual locals that live there, not with politicians or governments. I'm not interested. I talk to the people, the ones that depend on the river. And what we did was, I was planning on going to Laos and then going down the Mekong from Laos, because that's where all our main dams are being built and will be built some more, and then going through Cambodia to Vietnam. Well, by the time I was about to leave, I received messages from fellow friends in Laos that said, don't even think of putting your feet here, because the minute you come in, you'll go straight into jail. Let me explain to you this. In Laos, they have a law. It's called Penal Code 46, that clearly stipulates that anybody, national or international, journalist or civilian, who dares criticize in any way the Lao Democratic People's Republic, I like the title, right? The Lao Democratic People's Republic, will undergo a minimum of 5 to 15 years in jail. So as soon as they told me that, I lost my ticket, I lost my hotel bookings, and my lawyer friends here in Australia said, don't risk it, it's not worth it. So then I decided it was not a good idea. So yeah, but since then, since I was there and I started publishing nasty things in my website and every day on Facebook, I have a page that is called Scientists for the Mekong. In Facebook, and a similar name for my website, people, then I started receiving threats and insulting emails from the Chinese and Cambodians, interestingly enough. So yeah, it's not simple. As for discrediting campaigns, big time by the Australian government, by Oxfam Australia too.
So is the primary problem with the open defecation, the transmission of human diseases, or is it that there are so many humans that it makes it so fish die, or what is the problem with the open defecation?
Open defecation is just raw sewage, which is deadly for anybody, both fish and others. Thank God, what has saved the Mekong is that when it rains, it pours. So they have done what in the rest of the world, they call it dilution is the solution. Yeah, and it's a mantra that I fully disagree with. And even in first world countries, I mean, sewage treatment is not the norm, so that you know. Or it's very primitive and it's not really well done. So pollution by sewage and by open defecation is a serious problem. But yes, I mean, imagine 20 million people pooing every day all the time in the Mekong Delta. Of course it's going to get polluted. But that is nothing compared in terms of a percentage of pollution compared to the pollution from factories like steel factories that just killed hundreds of thousands, a million fish or something in a few days. Yeah? So pulp mills, all sorts of things can cause problems.
So before we get to dams, there's one more subject I want to ask you about, which is what's the role of China in that region, and especially what's the role of China in terms of harming the Mekong?
China, and I really need to do a little review of the history here so that people understand what's happening with China and start realizing that we're talking of something very serious. While China was a communist country, it quietly went along doing its factories, building 1,400 dams, displacing 23 million people. The whole population of Australia was displaced by dams in China, and they were all forcefully put into factories to work for the country, for the good of all, they said. Now, in those 20 or 30 years, very quietly there, they accumulated vast amounts of money to such a degree that the treasure holding of China became the richest country in the world. And this is something that people do not realize. So China started creating all these banks, yeah, particularly the Asia Development Bank. And now 2 years ago, it created the Asia Investment Bank, the AIIB. And it took 16 nations into joining them, yeah? And the AIIB is the biggest bank, one of the biggest banks on earth, yeah? But it's fully under the control of China. Australia is part of that. A lot of European countries are part of that. The U.S. has a stake in that. So through the banking system is what is the real leprosy of the planet, the cancer of the planet. Now, the problem with these banks, and particularly in regards to Mekong, is that they offer aid and development loans. So right now, China bought all the politicians, all the governments, by offering them, they're offering $4 billion in aid and development. But this aid and development comes with a condition, yeah? And part of the condition is do not criticize anything China does. For example, shut up about Taiwan and shut up about the building of the little station that they have out there that is supposed to be Vietnamese territory and Philippine international waters. So yeah, so do not criticize China, number one. Second, trade agreements. You have to do trade agreements with China or else the aid is out. Shady deals. Yeah, shady deals means there's a lot of corruption of local officials. There's casinos that are being built. There's free economy zones where they drug smuggling and weapon smuggling is rife. Then they also offer, as part of their aid, the constructions of roads, bridges, railways. Yeah, and what this does, it opens up the place and pristine areas to deforestation, mining, and illegal poaching of very important animal parts for Chinese medicines. Plus, it opens the place for factories. Let me explain to you this. One, the vision of China for Asia, and they wrote it down, and I have the paperwork where they wrote it down, is to stop subsistence living and have Asia become a market-oriented living. So what they plan to do is they already have build seven dams up there in the upper Mekong, and they have 14 more to build. I had no idea about that until a week ago. 14 more means, oh my God. So basically, you have all these thousands of kilometers of the Mekong River that will become reservoir dam, reservoir dam, reservoir dam, reservoir dam. A series of lakes, forget the river. There'll be no more river per se. It'll just be a selection, a whole cascade. They call it a cascade of reservoirs and dams all the way down, and they will be producing enormous amount of electricity that will go to satisfy the immense amount of shopping malls and factories that they want to develop. They believe that they are helping the development and growth of Southeast Asia to make it the new power on earth and overshadow the United States and everybody else and Russia and India and everybody else. So that's the idea. Yeah. This, however, another one of the conditions is that this be done with total social and environmental disregard. Yeah. I just said it. In their own country, they displaced 23 million people. There's a rampant human rights abuses. Yeah. And they're doing the same thing, not only in Southeast Asia, but China is also spreading its dendrites, its cancerous little roots, into the Amazon, Central and South America, all over Asia. They've got the biggest dams in the Amazon and in the Congo, and everywhere are being built by the Chinese. Understand that Chinese produce enormous amount of gadgets that have to do with electricity. Let me explain this. Right now, they're short. They created what is called the ultra-high-tension voltage power lines, okay? These things can transmit energy, yeah, from point A in this dam to 2,000 to 3,000 kilometers away. This had never happened before. This is the brand-new thing that they worked out. So then when they sell, when not only are they the biggest dam developers on earth, but they sell all the gadgets, all the nuts and bolts, the poles, the everything that has to do with electricity. They build the dam, they sell them the cement, they put the turbines, they do the electricity lines and sell every single gadget that goes with it. Plus they open the roads to get in and out of there and the railway lines. So right now they want to create a huge highway, a 2,000 kilometer highway, from China all the way through Laos into Thailand and further afield. Yeah, through Asia, through Central Asia. They're also building the plants are already drawn and everything has been agreed for a railway also. Yeah. And now they want to blast the upper Mekong north of Thailand, to do navigation or to keep, they're going to keep a section of the river for navigation. So between Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, all the way up to China, just for a few hundred kilometers. So there you go. That's part of the story with the dams. And it's all banks and trade agreements. It's money.
So people who know my work know that I am strongly opposed to dams and talk about the effects of dams. But can you talk explicitly about the effects of these, both the dams that have already been built on the Mekong and the dams that will be built on the Mekong? What will be those effects on both non-human communities and on human communities?
Okay, that's a big one. Okay. Right now, as I said, they already built seven, and I talk of mega dams in the north, in the upper Mekong. Okay? No, let's not stop. Let us retrace the steps even further. And this is a part I really need to explain to people because I didn't understand it until I saw the maps. The reason why China invaded Tibet, it's not a province, they invaded Tibet, was so that they could dam every bloody river up there. Understand that Tibet, the Himalayas, are the headwaters of all the main rivers that run through Asia and Southeast Asia, and they feed 2 billion people. So taking control and power of the headwaters of the main rivers in Asia, it gives the power of hegemony over water to China, basically. So if you look at the map of China, and you can look at it in my website, you would see that every river has become like a zipper. You know, a zipper in your pants? You pull up and down the zipper, and it's like all these little lines that cross the rivers. That's it. That's the quickest way to kill a river, is put enough dams over it. It's like if you grab an artery, and your main artery, and you tie knots on it every 5 centimeters, what's going to happen? It's going to gangrene. You're going to die. So the same, they're doing the same. So they started already at the headwaters in Tibet. Then they went down the Yunnan province, which is the upper Mekong. In that area, it's called the Langkang River. Now, by creating those mega, mega dams, they already took away more than 28 to 35% of the sediments and the rich nutrients that are supposed to go down all the way down the river to the Mekong Delta. So one of the main problems with the dams that have been built in China, and now then they built the Shayaburi Dam in Laos, in Upper Laos, and now they're building, and they just got the go-ahead for a third dam, the Pak Beng Dam, that would, according to studies, withhold at least 45% of what little sediments are left. And now they're building also the Don Sahon Dam right in the corner between Laos and Cambodia and the frontier, and that's one I have great issues with. Plus, they have another 9 dams they want to build in the, and we're talking of the mainstream of the Mekong, okay? But understand that a river, the main river, is not on, it doesn't happen on its own. The main river happens thanks to its tributaries. Yeah? And it so happens that all the tributaries are being dammed. So that Laos now put out, since China promised last year that it's going to give it 4 billion, it's going to give it many billions for as loans, then Laos went berserk and said, we're going to be the battery of Southeast Asia, and we're going to sell the energy to everybody and get rich, because we've got 7 million people that are very poor that we need to feed. So then they already have over 40 dams, and they're going to create 350 or lot. Okay. Vietnam has already damaged enormous amounts of those tributaries from their side. Yeah. And Cambodia is also planning on doing 2 major dams, that mega dams, that would be a total disaster from the point of view biodiversity. For the Tonle Sap Lake, which is the nursery of the Mekong, and for the Delta. So that, to make a very long story short, what these dams are doing is they're withholding sediments. With it, they withhold nutrients that make the river bottom rich, the waters rich, and allows the sides of the river to be fertile and for people to grow food there. Now, if you remove the sediments and remove the nutrients, then it becomes a very poor river indeed, yeah? And that's that's only one issue. Now, you will have seen, if you have, anybody that has read about it, would have heard that the Laos government and the Chinese government constantly say, no, there's nothing wrong. We just went through a totally unnecessary investment in fixing up the engineering of the dams. Yeah? So that now we have, look at the, and I have to laugh because otherwise I'll start screaming. They say, for the Shayaburi Dam, because we know that the Shayaburi, where they put the Shayaburi Dam in, right there in the north of Laos, it's in the area where those giant, beautiful Mekong catfish go through it there and go up further up north to the top of Thailand in the Mekong to breed. So they need to go up there, make babies, and then come back down. Okay? So then the scientists said, wait, how are you going to get, if you block the passage, you're blocking the reproduction. The Mekong has got the biggest migration of fish on earth. Okay, I'll give the listener an equivalent. You've heard of the Serengeti migration of animals that goes from one side of Africa all the way up to Tanzania and Kenya, right? Where there's millions of wildebeest and millions of zebras and that. Pretend that that is the Mekong. Yeah? They calculated that there would be, pay attention, 6 million fish passing per hour through through a channel that is right now being blocked with the Don Sahon Dam. 6 million fish per hour. That is one heck of a migration. This is not two or three fish that are going through. And the migrations happen year round. They can happen during the dry or during the wet. Yeah? So if they block the river with dams, well, the migrations cannot happen. They're blocked. There's a wall. Hello. So then Chinese and the Laotians are saying, you don't understand. We fixed this. We put on a lift. The what? Yeah, so then they put on a lift so that it's going to go up and down and take up the fishes and the 3 and 4. They're not talking of the 300 and 400 kilo catfish, no, but they say that you bring up the big fish and drop them at the top and they can go swimming. The problem is on the way down. Oh, well, they can use the spillway. The problem is that supposing that they can get some fish up, which is highly unlikely, particularly with the 300 to 400 kilo ones. But on the way down, they get trapped in the reservoir and then they get chewed up in the turbines, babies and adults. So that's a little problem. So they said, but we're going to open a little channel on the side of the river so they go through. Now, one problem with fish migrations, and people need to know this, is that they do not follow the rules established by human beings, saying, now turn right and then left. They have special cues that fish follow that we know very little about, actually. We know a few things. We know that they like water velocity and water depth and amount of water that has to flow for them to follow those cues. Yeah? Well, those cues are now, right now, being totally disrupted. So right now, the biodiversity and the fisheries of the Mekong River are already threatened. They're not going to be threatened. They're already threatened. There's two migrations that have been stopped at the level of the Shayaburi Dam. Yeah? And there's the latest migration from January last year that I was there to see the building of the coffer of the dam. It's got a very good name, huh? It's called the coffer. Guess what? That's where you put dead people in coffers, right? So they were building the coffer of the Don Sahon Dam right between the south of Laos and the northern part of Cambodia. And the problem with that area, it's a beautiful area, it's called the 4,000 Islands, it's full of falls, okay? So fish can come down through some channels, but it's very difficult for them to go up. They're not salmon. Yeah, the big fat fish and little fish that do not go up. There's actually very few species. They studied them and they caught them to find out how many species would go up the falls, and very few do. Most species went through the Don Sahon channel. Yeah, and that's the one where they decided to put the dam. Why couldn't they put the dam in another channel? No, they want the dam where there's the most amount of water passing through, and that's where the main fisheries channel is, the migration channel is. So then the Chinese gave their amazing tutelage to the Laotians and said, but look, you don't worry. There's two other little channels on each side which you can bombard, use explosives, make them wider, make them deeper, and the fish will go through them. So that's where they're at right now. However, locals tell me, and I saw them trying to fish, there's little fish happening. Fish populations have really dramatically decreased already. Okay? Another thing that dams do is they damage the quality of the water. Okay? So there's all these greens, filamentous algae that are growing right, left, and center. I jumped into the water because I was desperately hot at 38 degrees. And I nearly died. But I thought there must have been a dead buffalo or somebody around me that was dead because the water reeked. It took 3 days for my clothes to lose the smell. And then I got extremely sick. So it just goes to show that the water is already polluted, also because of all the organic matter that is being rotten that rots in the dams, okay, in the reservoirs of the dams. And this bad quality water that we know runs past the turbines and down the river for many miles. So, yep, if to that you add factories in between, yes, so the quality of the river and the biodiversity and the fisheries are suffering already. Now, you want me to tell you about what they're doing in Cambodia?
Yes, please.
Okay, in Cambodia, okay, let me start by the beginning. Cambodia and Vietnam were the only two countries that until 2 years ago were going, no dams, no dams, no, 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 China, no, not good, go away, we don't want you. Until China opened its purse and said, ah, look, I'm going to give you 8 developments, I'm going to make this road for you. So first of all, they said, we'll give you a road free of charge that goes from Phnom Penh and goes all the way up through Laos into China. So then they build the road. Oh, they're so nice, the Chinese. So then they started giving money to Hun Sen, which is the dictator of Cambodia, and to the tyrannical dictators of Laos. And they did the deal. And they said, okay, we're going to lend you money to make three awesome dams. First of all, we're going to build the lower Sesan 2 dam in the main tributary of the Mekong in Cambodia. This is a massive river that has enormous importance for fish migrations. Yeah, because also a lot of the species would go up that river to make babies and then come down. Yeah. Now they blocked that one. They've been building it despite a lot of scientists just went insane and said, that is almost worse to block the Sesan River than it is to block the mainstream. What are you doing? And they went, the Chinese are the head of this. Yeah, they're the actual Chinese developers doing it. And this has created a nightmare because even if they live under a tyrannical system, the Cambodian communities that live around the lower Sesan Dam said, we will drown here, but we're not moving. I went and interviewed them and cried with them. I have to say, we cried together. And they said to me, some of the old ladies said, there's no way. They'll have to drown me. There's no way I'm moving. And so there's a few popular communities that said, we're not moving. Well, guess what? Incredible desire to help reduce poverty and increase the standard of living. This is the excuse that they sell dams under. Understand that the main excuse of dams is dams will increase the quality of life of people by giving them electricity. They can have a fridge and they can have a TV and they will reduce poverty, which is absolutely and totally false. And there's been myriads of studies done, particularly in the last 3 years, and there just came one out in January 2017, showing just the impacts on ethnics and community groups and communities that were displaced, that they have actually increased poverty. Not only that, they don't even get electricity, most of them. Why? Because of the electricity that is being generated by the hydropower station, they prefer to sell it than to give it to these poor little guys that have got no money to pay them for. They say that that people can use the reservoir to irrigate their fields. Rubbish! There's no way they give them any water. That water has to be used for generating energy. Then they said that's something that they came and they told me, and they said, but doctor, they're telling us that we can, because the fish will migrate down back into the reservoir, that we can fish all we want. And I said, yeah, and what's happened? And they said, well, after 2 years, there's no fish. And I said, really? So then they said, and the people that were crying to me, and I was crying with them, said to me, how are we supposed to live? The people that have chosen to take the compensation packages that Oxfam has sent people to convince them, look, your best deal is don't fight it, just accept the compensation and go. It's for your best interest to move. This will make your life better. Oxfam Australia, for God's sake. The very group, the very NGO that is supposed to tell people and the governments, how dare you do this? Yeah? opposed us in our opposition to dams. They said, we will never support you. That's absolutely not. We believe that dams are the best thing that can happen for people in the Mekong. And I'm going, are you kidding me? 60 million people will go hungry and you are encouraging this? They said, yes, because we don't believe anything you say. So there you go. Or anything that scientists say. We know what is being done and you don't know anything. So they're paying other NGOs, local NGOs, to go and tell the people that are refusing to move to accept any package, compensation package they're offered and to move on. The problem with compensation packages is that often they're not fulfilled. The promises are not fulfilled. And the few people that got, because they went and built and I went and saw these new settlement areas, basically what these new settlement areas are is just a disgrace. It's a bit of rainforest that when you clear cut a rainforest, the soil is absolutely useless. Yeah? There's absolutely no productivity, no topsoil. It's just a barren clay. Yeah? So that's where they put a few hundred houses there. Yeah, and they did connect electricity on those houses and they put them on the main road and they said, okay, now I gave you a plot of 200 meters there each so that you can grow your food. And so many people that had accepted the compensation package ended up returning to the village and telling the others, forget it, I'm not staying there. Here I've got free food. Over there, I'm going to have to buy food because nothing grows there. Not only that, we're 50 kilometers away from the river. There's no water supply. And they were crying to me saying, how are we to live if we cannot fish and we cannot grow our food and we have no water? What's the use of the electricity? I'd rather drown here. And that is the situation right now. All I heard from dozens and dozens of communities we interviewed until I was stopped because the spice caught up with me and I was told to shut up and go, so I had to leave, was just people saying the quality of water is really bad. Children are getting very sick. There's a lot of diarrhea and vomiting right, left, and center. Yes, we try and filter our water, but the children are children and they jump in the river and they drink water. So that's one thing. The other one they were saying is there's no fish. There's very little fish. Before we would put out one of our traps and we'll get out hundreds of fish. Now, and I was there watching a guy for 1 hour in the lower Sisan River trying to fish with his net and he was fishing and fishing. In 1 hour he didn't catch one single tiny little fish. Nothing. None. So that goes to show that the impacts are already happening. That's in northeastern Cambodia. Now, what they want to do is because they have, it's Machiavellic. The plan of these dams is the sickest, most vile criminal plan on earth. It's unbelievable what they're doing and they do it purposefully. At the exit, there's three rivers. It's called the three S. Yeah, three main tributaries of the Mekong, the Sekong, the Srepok, and the Lower Sisan River that all come out at a place called Stung Treng in the north of Cambodia. I was right there, yeah? I visited all that area. Now, they want to put a dam right there. Excuse me, what? At the exit and entry? Okay, you already blocked two of the main rivers. Can you leave at least one? Oh, no, no, no. We're going to block it too. So then they're going to block the entrance to the main tributaries where the migrations are essential for fisheries to keep on happening. People don't understand that if fish don't migrate, they don't reproduce. If they don't reproduce, the populations die. If the populations die, there's no biodiversity and people go hungry. Simple. The mathematics are very simple. So they want to put a mega dam there, the Stung Treng Dam. And then they further down near Krati, they want to put another dam, the biggest of all dams, that is going to be more like the Itapu Dam in the Amazon, because that's the largest part of the river. They want to put in the Sambor Dam. I camped and stayed in a little island right there in the Mekong where they're going to put the Sambor Dam. And we were interviewing the locals and stayed with them. And they were telling me that the Chinese had started coming about 7 years ago to do surveys of the soil of where they're going to put the dam. And now, And then they came back 4 years later, and then 2 years after. And they, and the last trip they said they shouldn't build the dam there. The soil is very crumbly. It's very unstable. It's too dangerous. But the government is going to go ahead anyway. We suggest to you that you tell your government to get you out of here real fast. This is to, people don't only live on the river sides. They live in islands in the Mekong River. Yeah. Mekong River is enormous. So then they also told me that Oxfam had come to tell them many years before, 6 years before, you better tell the Cambodian government to move you out of here and accept any compensation they give you. So this Sambor Dam is perhaps the most dangerous of all dams if they go ahead and build it, yeah, because it's the, with the foundations being so unstable, there was this study that just came out, in exactly 1 year ago, that is called the Mekong Delta Study. It's the biggest study that has been done about the impact of hydropower dams on the Mekong River. It took 2.5 years to do. It was paid mostly by Vietnam to find out what would the impacts be on the Mekong Delta. And by, part was paid by Cambodia, the rest was paid by the World Bank and the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. So nice. They were so generous. Anyway, so this study came out and it says very clearly if they ever think of building the Sambor Dam, that thing is gonna break. And when it breaks, there will be a tsunami wave that would clear the whole islands, the whole riversides. It will be so massive because there will be hundreds of miles of reservoir behind it, understand, that contain the water. And if that thing breaks, by the time you get to Krativ and 35 kilometers downstream, they'll still get a tsunami wave that will wipe out tens of thousands of people. So that's a no-no. Besides it being smack on the migration route between the Tonle Sap Lake on the left, where the fish also go in and out to make babies, and then go up the river to migrate and to do more of the thing that they do, fish up into the tributaries. But that would also be blocked. So yeah, it's pretty much of a nightmare. And so what happened before was that Vietnam and Cambodia used to fight it and said no dams, and Vietnam even paid for it, for the study. And as soon as the study came out last year, before it came out, sorry, Oxfam Australia, okay, let me explain to you, because the corruption and the craziness that is going down with Oxfam is so sick, it's not funny. I could not believe it, because if there was two NGOs in the world I used to believe in was Oxfam and International Rivers. The rest were all rubbish. Yeah, the rest are all paid WWF, IUC, and they're all paid by the World Bank. So I wasn't going to believe in any of them because I saw them in action before. But Oxfam Australia literally did this in October 2015, when I started working on this big time, because I was preparing the document for COP21 in Paris, yeah, about climate change being increased by hydropower dams, rather than it being a clean green energy as they propose. I was doing all this research, and then I found that they had just published a paper by a group of fantastic scientists up in Thailand. That was financed. It was funded by Oxfam Australia, and it has Oxfam Australia in its cover. Okay. This study said in October 2015 said absolutely no dams. The damages, the impacts are humongous. Already the river is suffering. It would be a catastrophe, an ecological catastrophe. Okay. What did Oxfam do? It shelved that study, never ever mentioned that. You would not hear a mention of that study by Oxfam anywhere. But at that same time, as that study had just came up, they had the first show they were given the draft of that 2.5 year study that Vietnam had paid for about the impacts of hydroelectric dams in the Mekong. And when this study is called the Mekong Delta Study, okay, for short, the MDS. when this study came out, was at the same time that the Oxfam study had come out. And they both said the same thing. Catastrophe. Don't. The best thing people can do is do not put any dams in the Mekong, and particularly not on the mainstream of the Mekong. Yeah? You're going to put any ones, choose the very little tributaries, but don't use the Mekong. You cannot do that because you ruin it. And then they gave the numbers of just how much the fisheries would suffer, of the billions of dollars that would be lost in revenue for Cambodia and for Thailand and for... particularly for Vietnam, and all the many, many, many reasons why it shouldn't be, this dam should not be built. You know what Oxfam Australia did? Oxfam Australia, before it was even published, that draft, they were at the meeting. The same day they had the discussion, they went and they organized a new study called the Oxfam Analysis of the MDS Study. They paid three scientists in Cambodia to discredit the results and say that there was all these faults because this and that, and they had done this wrong, and they didn't have this information and that. So I called Oxfam, and I wrote to Oxfam, and I said, wait a minute. If you really had a query about the MDS study as an Australian-based organization, how is it that you did not send it to James Cook University or to the University of New South Wales, the University of Sydney? We have any amount of universities that have been doing Mekong studies for decades. The experts are here in Australia. How come you didn't send it to Australia? No, instead you pay for three really shady-sounding pseudo-scientists, because I call that a pseudo-scientist, somebody that sells themselves to give wrong, twisted, biased information, yeah, for money or for the wrong political gain, yeah? And then basically they discredited the MDS study. But before the study even came out, which was in January last year, so this is October, November, December 2015, Oxfam was sitting at every single one of the meetings. Every country in the Mekong has got what you call a National Mekong Commission. It's the group of scientists and politicians and bureaucrats that work out what's happening in the Mekong in their country, okay? So I have, and this is told by people that were in the, that are part of the commission, I cannot give the name because it'll be in the biggest trouble, from NGOs that said, wait a minute, international NGOs, USAID, actually USAID group. They said to me, in my face in Cambodia, they said to me, we were present at those meetings, and it was Oxfam telling the people in Cambodia and the people in Vietnam that this study was rubbish and that they should go ahead with the dams, when everybody knows the damage that the dams are doing. And he explained to me, you have to understand this. All the decisions are political decisions. They're made behind closed doors, and they have been made for over 10 years. There's nothing anybody can do. Then I spoke to lawyers in Australia that had been dealing with the Mekong, and they told me, too late, nothing will happen. It's done. It's a political deal. That's it. There you go.
So we have like 30 seconds left. And you've done a fabulous job of explaining the problems. And I realize this is not much time to give you, but what do you want people to do wherever they are listening to this? How can they, what can they do to start opposing these dams? And we only have 30 seconds.
Okay, what they can do is write to USAID and tell them to oppose it. USAID finally gave money for a 5-year study in biodiversity, a little bit late, but okay, to oppose the dams. To write everywhere, right, left, and center, to every politician in every country in Southeast Asia, in Laos particularly, in Cambodia, in Vietnam, in Thailand, to stop the dams. And to stop the blasting of the navigation channel that they want to make in the Mekong. That's something people can do.
And for more information about this, they can go to your website, Scientists for the Mekong, right?
Yeah, it's called scientist4mekong.com. And they can also look at my Facebook page. They have to type the whole name, scientists.mekong. for .the.mekong. And they will come into my, and every day I publish something nasty.
Well, thank you so much for your work. And I would like to thank listeners for listening. My guest today has been Liliana Corridor. This is Derek Jensen for Resistance Radio on the Progressive Radio Network.